Hey guys, welcome in. It is Brad with College Sportscast. We are here for the Final Four edition of our Game Day Pick'ems. March Madness is in full effect here, and the Final Four starts this weekend. All right, guys, welcome back. It's Brad with College Sportscast. I have Hammonds on here with me. What's up, Hammonds?
What's up, buddy?
We are here to do our College Sportscast Game Day Pick'ems through the college football season. We do these on Thursday nights. We have been doing them on Friday nights during basketball season since football season ended. But this time, we're doing it back on Thursday because on Friday night, the women's Final Four, the two semifinal games are tomorrow night. So we wanted to get this in for you guys and cover both the men's and the women's. So that's why we're doing this back again on Thursday night. And I will start with what I have been starting out with here the last month or so here on the show. On Facebook, guys, our Facebook is growing. We are approaching 1,600 on our fan page, College Sportscast fan page. We just crossed over 1,500 not a week or 10 days ago. So we are growing quite a bit here, and we appreciate you guys. Just want to say, if you're on Facebook, there are two ways you can support us now. One is there on the screen. You can help support us by sending us stars on reels and videos, and you can do that by sending, go to this Facebook, the Facebook shop. You can get some stars and send us stars, helps us to earn money. Or new way that you can also do it is you can become a subscriber. We have picked up about 4 subscribers this week. So I want to give them guys a shout out. If you are a new subscriber to us, I appreciate you, and I'm sure if you are on Facebook, when you comment here, it will probably pop up and show that you are a subscriber. So want to get that out of the way. And then the first thing that I want to get to tonight, we're going to do a college basketball scoreboard. You want to know why?
Because the NIT's doing it.
Does anybody really want to know why? What's tonight? What's going on?
The NIT championship.
The NIT championship tonight. Indiana State is playing Seton Hall, and there's about 3 minutes to go in this game. It's the first time Indiana State has ever played in April. Just so you guys know. First time Indiana State has ever played in April, when they played the Final Four here, these two games in the NIT. They are leading Seton Hall 77-70 with 2 minutes and 45 seconds to go. So I told you guys the last show we did at the end, I told you guys, I said, go Sycamores. So
yeah,
I'm still pulling for the Sycamores here.
Yep.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yeah. And the big trees.
Listen, guys, I didn't make that nickname up, I promise.
No, it was already.
Wasn't me.
It was already happening.
Hey, wasn't me. I didn't make that up, so don't even.
Yep.
Dave. What's up, Dave? Dave is one of our new subscribers. Give you a shout out, man. I appreciate that. And he says, go ISU. That's Indiana State, in case you guys are following along. That's who he's talking about there. So I had to start out with that. I'll give you guys an update as the game closes out here, but I did have to start out with that. All right, John, before we get into our matchups and the Final Fours and everything we're going to talk about, let's run through some college sports news real quick. I mean, there's quite a bit going on. What's something you want? What's a lead that you want to talk about with college sports news that's going on?
Well, Eric Musselman, former Arkansas coach, he is now the head coach at the University of Southern California. I think they made that official today, and I think he's en route to USC right now. He was in the airplane. He had made a post to Arkansas thanking all the fans. I think it's a good move for USC, honestly, because he's from that area, and he knows the recruiting basis out there.
They lost their coach to SMU. Their coach left and went to SMU.
Yeah, and I think he'll do good out there in the recruiting aspect of things, and I think he'll do really well out there, especially where he's real, you know, involved with where he's at and where he's from and whatnot. I think it'll be good for both parties. I think, because if you look at it, Arkansas fans there was a point there where they was just disconnected from him, and he was the same way, and it was just a good thing.
After this year was a tough year. I think Devo Davis had a really tough year, had some ups and downs, left the team for a little while. There's some stuff going on with him. Devo Davis has been pretty popular with Arkansas fans the last few years. And they had a rough season.
Well, and then they had the little thing where there was a lot of rumors going around in the locker room. There was just so much stuff going on in that program.
There was a lot of stuff. And I believe, like you said, John, I know I've seen some people, well, that's kind of a lateral move, or that's not, you know, why would you go from Arkansas to USC? And, well, you know, sometimes, guys, you know, it's a better fit. It's a mutual agreement between both parties. It benefits both of you.
Well, I think people don't realize
was ready for a change, and I think that Musselman was ready for a change.
Well, and two, he had been out there already near that area with Nevada, so it's not nothing new to him. You know what I mean? Like, so, and he actually got a switch commitment. The Cohen kid from UMass, he decommitted from Arkansas, and now he's going to USC. So a lot of the players that he's recruiting are following him to USC. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. On the second part of things.
So a USC kid, Kobe Johnson, actually committed to the crosstown rival today, UCLA.
Yeah, and Sky and Clark left. committed yesterday or the day before. So UCLA's kind of loading up too. They're loading up in two in the portal. So the second part of this news is there's a lot of variables with this whole coaching move that Arkansas is going to do. I've heard Jerome Tang is getting picked up in an airplane. I've heard Chris Beard. We don't really know, but I do know this. That I seen a post, I think it was about 30 minutes ago, from an Arkansas beat writer, and he said that this whole coaching search was going to be very short and sweet. Like it's going to be done in a matter of time.
I've already seen that they are possibly en route to pick up Jerome Tang to announce him as the coach.
Well, that's not official yet, but
it's not official. It's just rumors. I'm saying I've heard rumors. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is, this is all happening lightning fast.
Yeah, it's like a quick process.
Because, I mean, Musselman is literally 2 hours ago was on a plane himself leaving town. So, I mean, like, I will say this, there's been quite a bit of stuff about Chris Beard and some fans and people posting and wanting Chris Beard. For me, and I know the history of Arkansas probably, over the last 30 years has been one of the top 4 or 5 jobs in the SEC. I get that. But right now, when you look at it, Chris Beard is at Ole Miss.
He's only been there a year.
I don't really see why. I don't see why you would leave Ole Miss.
Well, and I don't see where he would jump
to go to Arkansas.
You know, 1 year and then jump and go to a division rival. I don't see that happening. But
I mean, it's in the same region, same area. You're in the same conference.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see the reason to jump.
I don't either.
I just don't.
The other news that I want to report is Justin Edwards is going to the NBA draft. I started to say NFL draft. The NFL draft coming up. But NBA draft, he didn't have the year that everybody was expecting at Kentucky. He did have the breakout game against Alabama where he had 28. After that Alabama game, I really thought he was going to turn it on. And it just seemed like he was in his head all season long. There was some things going on with him mental health wise. He had wrote about it or talked about it.
I'll be honest with you. I never thought Edwards was utilized correctly the entire year. I honestly don't think that the offense was ever like focused around him. Mm-mm. Ever. I mean, maybe one or two games where he, hit a few shots. Outside of that, I mean, I don't think the offense was really focused around him. All Cal ever talked about when it come to Edwards was that he needed him on defense and defense this, and I need him to play defense if he's going to get more minutes. And that's all Cal ever talked about. To be quite honest with you, Edwards is not a defensive stopper, okay? I mean, he's just not. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just Edwards.
He would have been a whole lot better in the office.
It was DJ Wagner. There was a lot of guys that just didn't have the year that we thought they was going to have. And, it's unfortunate. Reed Sheppard did a great year.
Before we move off of Justin Edwards here, let me say this. He did not have the season. He did not have leave with the expectations that we thought that he was going to have. However, I think he did have two or three breakout games there and down the stretch. And I think if he goes to the combine, mm-hmm. goes to some of these workouts, and shows what he can do. Remember, he was a 2-time Gatorade Player of the Year coming out of high school.
By the way, Seton Hall just beat Indiana State by 2. 79-77.
Wow, you're so right. They just did. They scored the last 9 points in this game. Okay, before I lose my point here on Justin Edwards, what I was getting ready to say is I think he's going to show enough, and it would not shock me at all if Edwards does not slide into the late first round or early second in the draft.
That's what I mentioned today, This draft is not as strong as it has been in the last couple of years. It's a really weak draft.
If you guys remember, he was projected as the number one pick when the season started.
He was.
First of November, he was projected as the number one pick. I know he's dropped. And right now, I would say he's middle second rounder. But I believe he's going to show enough in his workouts and combine. I think this kid's got it. I just don't think Kentucky utilized him right. Mm-hmm. I really don't.
You can say that about a lot of the kids that's come through there, though.
Absolutely. And Justin Edwards is one of them.
Booker. Devin Booker is one of them.
Yeah, and so I'm telling you, I fully kind of expect this kid, Justin Edwards, to show out a little bit and to prove that he is a late first round or early second. That's where I think he's going to slide in. Women's news, Haley Van Lith put her name in the portal again today. She mm-hmm. transferred away from Louisville last year and transferred to LSU. She played at LSU this year with Angel Reese and Flaje Johnson and Morrow and Michaela Williams. And I mean, they had just a smorgasbord of talent down there. And they because did. Of that, Haley Van Lith did not quite have the season that she had had at Louisville. But I do expect her to be a hot commodity in the transfer portal.
I do too.
And I thought I would hit that. I'm going to give you one of her schools last year that she came down to was Stanford. So watch Stanford as a potential landing spot for
Vegas. Yeah, and today, Kenny Brooks picked up a commit, a JUCO. So. For Kentucky, so
she did. She and yes, he did. She's a JUCO. She had committed to him at Virginia Tech, and she's mm-hmm. backed out of that and now committed to him at Kentucky. She averaged over 19 points, over 12 rebounds. She's 6'3", and she shot 30% from the 3-point line. Now, I'm gonna 30% tell you, in the men's game doesn't sound great, but for a 6'3" forward center to step out and hit 30% on the girls' side, that's pretty good.
What Kenny Brooks is doing at the University of Kentucky needs to be appreciated. I mean, he's got that program going in the right direction. He's already Absolutely. Going out.
We got three. He's also got three. He's got two 2025 top recruits that's put him back on the list, put Kentucky back on the list. And he is down to a top three with a 2024 Clemson decommit.
Yeah. I think one just got offered a minute ago from Winston-Salem, I think, in Wake Forest. So I think that was the one that
he's hitting it great. We'll see what he comes up with. But I am really excited about the possibilities. For next year in the roster with Kentucky women's basketball.
Me too, my man.
All right. With that said, guys, we're going to start with the women's. All right. We're going to start with the women's tournament. They start tomorrow night, Friday night. Mm-hmm. They're played Friday, and the championship game is Sunday. So we're going to start with the women's NCAA tournament Final Four. There is a ton of hype around the Final Four. I mean, it's tremendous what's going on with women's basketball and the eyes that are on it. 12.3 million watched LSU and Iowa in the mm-hmm. Elite Eight on Monday night. So, again, I'm going to go right off the bat here. And I'm going to go number one, Iowa versus number three, UConn. We got Caitlin Clark versus Paige Beckers. So, and then you got, of course, Geno, you know, getting his team back to the Final Four after missing it last year. Of course, Paige was out with an ACL last year. Mm-hmm. So, John, first of all, are we going to see more eyes than 12.3 million on this game?
I think you will. And especially with South Carolina involved now. You know, this tournament, it's revolved around
Caitlin Clark. I think there's more people excited about the women's than there is the men's this year. I really do.
I do. Neither team on this, UConn, Iowa, neither one of them have a really deep bench. I think, you know, foul trouble is going to be a factor in this game. Clark and Buchers probably will most likely, to me, will not leave the floor. I think you're going to see another classic game. But I just think Clark hits the clutch shots in crunch time again. And the fact is that, you know, UConn has a lot of gals out injured. And they've been running on fumes for the last few weeks. And you heard Gino say couple of days ago?
They have five players out.
And Gino even mentioned it. He said he didn't even think he was going to be in this position. He thought that they would be plumb out of the tournament before the second weekend. And now they're here. And what do they do with that opportunity? You know,
Edwards is good. They did because they were losing so many players.
Page is good. So, you know, I'm going to take Clark in this game. I think they get it done.
He's playing like four freshmen.
And I'll say this about Clark. She's just not a high-volume shooter. She makes everybody around her better. She makes her teammates better. She has great court vision. She knows how to handle the ball in certain situations. Her floor sense is about the best I've seen in college basketball in quite a while. So give me Iowa, but I do think this is going to be a very intense game and should be another classic game like we had last week.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm going to say this. Like, I have been a Caitlin Clark fan for two or three years now. Off to the side, she's been one that I've kept an eye on, that I have really enjoyed watching play. I think she was fun 3 years ago. These two teams met, which would be four in 2021, 4 years ago, and four tournaments ago, when Caitlin Clark. And Paige Beckers was when they were freshmen. Okay,
I think they met in the Sweet 16. I think it was in the.
Now Caitlin has greatly improved her team. I think Paige scored 18. Caitlin scored 21, and UConn beat them by like 18 or 20 points and moved on. Okay.
Yeah. I think one of the times they played them, they played them in the Field Night Legacy Tournament, too, I believe.
Yeah, but I was just talking about in the tournament. So these two teams met when they were freshmen, when Caitlin and Paige were freshmen in the tournament.
Yeah.
All right? And at the time, Paige was the player of the year and Caitlin was just kind of coming up, and that was her freshman year, and kind of making a name for herself. And the whole world was talking about Paige. She was the freshman player of the year and all that. And it's just really odd because now Paige has been hurt. She was hurt all last year with ACL and out. She's come back and played this year and been great down the stretch, led this team despite all these injuries that John was talking about. But the script is kind of flipped. Now, Caitlin is the two-time AP All-American Player of the Year. And I was the number one team. And UConn is kind of – listen, when's the last time UConn was in the Final Four in women's and was the underdog? Guys, they've been to like 15 of the last 16 Final Fours or something crazy. Like, it's crazy. They missed last year. Got knocked out in the Sweet 16. What's up, Robert? And Jonathan, three-point contact. Give us an update here. I'm not watching it, so you can give us an update. But I think this game is going to be a great game. It's really hard to pick against Paige and Gino and UConn, just to be honest with you. But I've been a Caitlin Clark guy for a while. I picked them to win it all, and I'm not backing out now. So go Hawkeyes. I'm gonna stick with UConn with Iowa in this one, even though I think it's Okay. It's crazy, but I'm going to stick with Caitlin Clark. I think she's a winner. I want to see her go out as a winner. Paige has already announced that she's coming back for a fifth year. So if she does get knocked out, I will almost guarantee you I will pull for Paige next year. Okay. That's all I'm saying, because she is a great player and I love watching her play too. But this year, I'm pulling for Kate. All right. Then we're going to get to South Carolina. Number one, undefeated South Carolina versus the three seed. We got a 1-3 and a 1-3 here. The three seed NC State. And I asked you the other night, is NC State an underdog here? Kind of like the NC State and the boys, and you said you didn't think so, but honestly, I kind of think they are, especially going up against South Carolina.
Thing about South Carolina is they have so many weapons they can throw at you, especially at the starter positions and then at the bench. You know, they got, you know, Cardosa, you know, Full Wiley, Papow Pow. Like, there's so many great players on this team. And Dawn Staley is the best coach in America. She's up there with Coach K, let's just be honest, when it comes to, you know, wins and career. NC State had a good run.
She's the three-time consecutive coach of the year right now.
NC State has had a great run. I really like this NC State team, but I just – South Carolina's going to win this game by double digits, I think. They just got too many weapons, too many stars, and it's not a long trip from Cleveland from South Carolina. So South Carolina's going to have a lot of fans there too. So they're going to have their back in Cleveland.
Well, they have a following, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've seen them play about five times this year. So I've seen them on the road. They definitely have a following. I think that it's like 11 or 12 points is the spread on this game, isn't it, John?
It's 11 and a half, I believe.
11 and a half.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, guys, I've seen South Carolina play. I've seen them struggle some in the second NCAA tournament in the second half, got up 22 points. Mm-hmm. I've seen them in person in the SEC tournament where they had a 19-point lead on Tennessee and struggled down the stretch. I think this team sometimes loses focus because they are so much better than everybody else. So that's the one thing to look out for tomorrow night with South Carolina is if they jump out to a 15, 20, 22-point lead early, second quarter, how do they come out of the second half and how do they finish this game? Mm-hmm. Because I have seen them struggle some in the second half after looking dominant.
Yeah. And
against the competition.
And on the Tennessee game, it took a buzzer beater to beat Tennessee, I don't know what kind of defense Tennessee was
playing. And Indiana cut it to two. And, and could have had a chance to beat them as well.
And I'm still bum-fuzzled what kind of defense Tennessee was running on that last play that won them that game. That was about the worst defensive pressure for a game. Like, that was just
– I know what was told. I know what the coach told, and I was there. I was at the press conference and everything. So, I was there. So, I know what was told, and it kind of makes sense after listening to it. So what was told is that Key, who is their 6'7", Tennessee has a 6'7" girl too, was told, because there was only like 1.2 seconds or 1.4 seconds. So whoever got the ball was going to have to shoot. And it was just a 2-point lead. That's how come the three beat them and they won. So Key, the big girl, was told to not give up the paint. That if somebody cut the lane, that she was to stay in the paint and not give up the lane in the paint. Her, as the big girl, was supposed to keep that from happening. And what happened on the play is they cut somebody to the paint about the same time as they cut Cardosa to the top of the key. Mm-hmm. And Key, which is this girl's last name, stayed in the paint. Cardosa was wide open, got the shot, banks it in. First time she'd ever hit a three this season, and wins the game. That's what happened. Yeah. But from a coaching perspective, that kind of makes sense.
It does, yeah. But I got South Carolina.
Guys, here, I'm going South Carolina. I'm going South Carolina. I think they're just too good.
And Sunday, I'm guessing it's Sunday, right? Third game Sunday.
Yeah, the championship game on the girls' side. Yeah.
Man, I kind of want to pull.
How do we see the final game going, and who's the champion?
Man, there's so much pressure on South Carolina. Like, I know that, you know, everybody talks about the last few years. You know, you had the year where UConn got upset. Mississippi State won at the buzzer that one year. There's just so much pressure on these teams to win, especially this late in the year, especially into the Final Four. But I got to go with South Carolina. I mean, Caitlin Clark's going to do her thing, though. My idea of Iowa winning it all is Caitlin's got to have a great, great night, which she's going to do, and South Carolina has to be off. And I just don't know if that will happen, because South Carolina usually, when they start the game, they're usually right on target. They're usually starting out quick and fast. And, I, you know, as much as I want to pick Caitlin Clark and what she's always
accomplished. I love South Carolina. I love their team. I love their shooting. They're so talented. I mean, Watkins and Kitts and Pow and my favorite name in women's college basketball, Malaysia Fulwiley.
I'm telling you,
she is something else. Watch her tomorrow night, because she's going to stand out tomorrow night.
She's a special player.
Yeah. Cardosa. I mean, the list goes on and on.
And the thing about it is, the thing about it was,
this is Caitlin's year.
And here's the key.
I'm going Iowa Hawkeyes.
And here's a key stat that many people don't know either, is that South Carolina lost the majority of their team last year. And she's still doing this.
They lost all five starters.
All five starters. And they're already back in the Final Four again.
All five starters.
Does that not tell you what kind of coach Dawn Staley is? She's one of the best in college basketball.
Absolutely. Hey, the only two that's back, well, Watkins, there's three. Watkins, Kitts, and Cardosa are the three that's back that played a decent backup role on that team.
Backup role, yeah.
None of them started.
Impressive. That makes you think, can Dawn Staley coach a man's game? Listen, can Dawn Staley coach a man's team is what I was.
If Dawn Staley gets this team and South Carolina wins it, I will not be surprised, okay?
No.
I've been pulling for, and I picked Iowa to win this thing all year long, and I'm not backing down now. All right? That's all I'm saying.
I love Caitlin Clark, but this time I think we're going to go separate. I just think Dawn Staley's got it. She knows. She's been there. But like you said, this might be Caitlin Clark's year, so we'll find out if that happens and we go into Sunday. You never know. UConn might end up winning this game. So we'll find out here pretty soon, especially tomorrow night.
Listen, you can't count UConn out. I mean, you really can't.
Especially Geno with the way he coaches and stuff.
Against Iowa or South Carolina. You can't
He knows how to game plan. Geno does.
Absolutely. He knows how to make adjustments as well. Did we freeze up?
I'm right here.
Okay.
No, I'm here. I'm still here.
Okay. All right, man. So we're going to go to the men's. All right. We're going to talk about the men's NCAA tournament Final Four. This weekend, the first games on the men's side start on Saturday. And I didn't actually look at the order of the games. I just put them in here. So I'm not sure who's playing first and who's playing second. But the first game we're going to talk about is number one, UConn versus four seed Alabama.
NC State and Purdue is the first game. So.
Okay. I didn't look, so I'm sorry. But, that's my bad.
No, you're good. You know, I'm just going to go and start by saying this. You know, UConn has entered the tournament as the favorite to win the whole thing, right? And nothing that I have watched over the first four rounds has made me question that. My biggest thing is whether the Huskies won't win, but how much they'll cover the spread or how much they'll go over and under. Because, like, this team is on a mission. You know, they did this last year. You know, they come out and they just went through the whole tournament and just body bagged everybody. For me, I'm going to say this about Alabama. I think for Alabama to keep this close, I think they're going to have to score in transition. I think they're going to have to hit some threes at a high clip. Because they do not have the defense to slow UConn. And I don't think UConn hasn't seen an up-tempo style like Alabama brings to the table. But I think for at least a half, Mark Sears and company will keep this game pretty tight. But to expect Alabama to stay hot the entire game – against a really good defensive UConn team that comes out on the perimeter, that does things that Alabama has not yet seen, I just don't think they can hang with them for 40 minutes. I think UConn covers the 11.5, too. I think this UConn team is the best team in the last decade. Like, the last 2 years, you could put them up there as a dynasty in terms of, you know, they win this one. I consider them a blue blood. I probably already consider them a blue blood, but they win this one. They're probably in that category.
I am right there with you. If they win this the way they have been winning, they are absolutely now an official blue blood in college basketball. This will be five championships in 20, 25 years. This will be four in 13 years. I mean, come on, guys. And the domination style that they have been doing, they have won 10 straight NCAA tournament games by 13 plus.
Well, and you look at the
13 points plus.
And you look at the teams that they played, they weren't a bunch of no names. You know, you had San Diego State And then we had Illinois in the Elite Eight, which everybody thought Illinois would give them a good game. And they pushed Illinois back plumb into the back room. Like, they never even let them make – there was a point there where Illinois didn't score for almost 4 or 5 minutes. Like, and UConn was just eating them alive in the middle, in the paint. Donovan Clean was making plays.
They just did the same to Illinois there in the Elite Eight was nothing but embarrassing.
It was pretty tough. It was pretty bad to watch, especially if you're an Illinois fan.
I mean, that was embarrassing. In an Elite Eight game, to go on a 30-0 run, I mean
– That might be the most impressive thing I've seen, is the 30-0 run.
I don't know how you
– I've never seen anything like that.
I don't know how you get more dominant than that. However, I got to talk about Alabama here for a little bit and give them some love here. The job that Nate Oates has done after losing Brandon Miller and that great team from last year, to replace it with 9 new players on this team, 3 new assistant coaches, 4 new staff members on this team, and to come back and been, I think, All-American, maybe not first team, but if you go second or third team, I think Sears has played at that kind of level this year. And Nick for Pringle, Alabama,
Nick Pringle has played really well for them.
Grant Nelson has come in as a transfer from North Dakota State and done a fantastic job. He played really well a couple of games ago. Had Estrada's a fantastic played, game.
Estrada's played really
Estrada
well.
Estrada has played really well. And, you know, Pringle has played really well. I mean, this Alabama team can light up the scoreboard pretty fast.
And now, I'll say this on top of what you're going to say. A lot of people faded Alabama before this tournament started. A lot of people in the betting realm of things, they faded them because they didn't know whether they could play defense or not. But their defense has actually been improved this tournament. You know, the D that they had against Grand Canyon, they put the D on Clemson. Now, the North Carolina game was an up-and-down game, but they made stops when they needed to, and Grant Nelson just went absolutely Superman on North Carolina.
They made the late stops when they needed to. In this last game, they made the late stops when they needed to as well. So, you know, here's the deal with this game. Mark Sears has got to go for 30.
At least.
Grant Nelson's got to have a 20-12 game because they've got to rebound with these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Pringle has got to get on the boards and rebound with these guys.
The issue with that, though, is UConn's good at second chance points. And if you give UConn second chance points, you're going to be buried real quick.
Yep, that's what I said. They got to get on the boards. Bama's got to be on the boards.
I don't think there's a bigger addition. I don't think there's a bigger addition than what UConn's had this year than getting Cam Spencer from Rutgers. I think he's been the highlight of their season. He's done it all for them.
Which is one of the guys I wanted Calipari to go get.
He's done everything. He's done everything for him in this tournament.
If it's a track meet, but is UConn going to allow that? UConn plays such great defense.
They play really solid defense. It's going to be tough for Alabama.
Is this going to be in the 80s? Because here's what I'm going to tell you guys. If Alabama scores 89 points or more, they're 19-1 on the year.
They'll most likely win this
game. That's their record.
But if they score in the 60s, if they score in the 60s, they're losing this game.
I said 89 points or more. That's the key point, 89.
They win this game. They're going to win most likely or be in the game.
They're 19-1 on the season.
Yep.
What's up, Josh? So, listen, it's hard not to pick UConn here, but I really think that if Alabama plays the way that I just described and not make, if they're not doing well, if they can do three or four of these areas really good, I think they could have a chance.
I do. But I think they do.
I'm going to go UConn. And you know, and say that they make it to the finals here. What's up, Daniel?
Yeah, I got UConn playing for the championship Monday night.
All right. So the next game, we got number one Purdue versus 11 seed NC State. Edie versus Burns. What do you think about this one, Hammonds?
Man, this is going to be the big talking point of the whole lead up to this basketball game. But the biggest thing that has improved since the start of this whole tournament is how they've improved both teams on the defensive side of the ball. You know, my early prediction right now is Purdue. I just think Edie is going to make life tough for NC State. And when Purdue shoots it like they do from the outside and they make threes at a higher clip than State, I'm not so sure this game couldn't be a blowout in terms of, you know, how Purdue plays. But I will say this. DJ Burns and this NC State team is not going to back down. They haven't backed down. You know, they got behind against Oakland, and they made plays when they needed to. Marquette game, they made plays. Duke, they made plays. They're not intimidated whatsoever. You know, they got Morsell, O'Connell, Burns. And I always think about this as if – wonder the what-if game. What if Rob Dillingham ended up at NC State right now? That was a key thing somebody brought up in a press conference today. Like, what would happen if Rob Dillingham ended up actually where he was first originally committed – was the NC State. Could you imagine him with the guards they have, plus DJ Burns? They might win the whole thing.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, come on now. But beyond that, I just think.
I loved Rob Dillingham this year. He was so fun to watch.
He was. But DJ Burns is a matchup problem, I think. Edie has probably not seen a big like him until maybe he meets him, or if they win, they play clinging. And that'll be Edie's biggest test. Everybody thinks Edie's just tall and he does and this and this. Well, you don't watch basketball, obviously, because Edie does more than just, you know. Now, I get the whole idea that, well, he gets all the calls. He gets a lot of favorable whistle calls, which he probably does, but he takes advantage of that and he just plays.
I got to ask you a question, John, about Edie, while I'm thinking about it real quick. Did you see him walk around the ladder and cut the net standing on the ground?
Yep, I seen that. Pretty impressive.
I mean, what? Did you guys see that? The ladder, you know, they get up on the ladder and cut the net, and they turn around, you know, and they like celebrate. Edie walks around the ladder and just reaches up and cuts the top of the net standing on the ground.
Well, like I said, with the whole Purdue thing, is they shoot the three at a very high clip. And when they're going in, they're hard to deal with. You know, you've seen the last, three or four minutes against Tennessee. They just buried Tennessee late in the game. And that's no smack to Tennessee, because Tennessee's a really good team. They just did not have no answer for Edie. You know, he had 40 points. I mean, the guy just took over the game. And I think that's what's going to happen here. God, I want to pick NC State really bad and with the underdog story, the Jim Valvano story. But I think this is where it ends right here. Purdue's really tough.
That's kind of where I'm leaning. DJ Burns and NC State story has been great for the NCAA tournament. For them to make this run all the way to the Final Four. You know, Kevin Cleats and stuff, and the job that he's done to get this crew to jail at the absolute perfect time. Because, I mean, let's face it. Like you said the other day, if Virginia sinks a couple of free throws,
they don't even get in the tournament.
They don't even get in the tournament.
Well, and you even go as far as that. If O'Connell doesn't bank that three in, they don't even go to the tournament either. Like, they had a bank three from being missing the tournament, and now they have a bank three where they've won, what, 9-10 straight? And now they're in the Final Four. Like, impressive. Come on now.
Yeah. It's impressive. I mean, they are the first team ever to make the Final Four with 14 regular season losses.
Very impressive.
I mean, they went to the ACC tournament. They were 17-14, 16-14.
It was 17-14, I believe. Yeah.
17-14, I think. I mean, they had lost the last four or five straight going into the ACC tournament. I mean, so you know, the story here is amazing.
You know what changed?
But
I read about this a little bit today, and I watched some of the games in the tournament, and I just kind of picked up on things in film. What changed was their defensive effort. They played really good defense, and the fact that DJ Burns just absolutely went ballistic. He went on a run that I've never seen before. He was good early in the season. He was good at times, but he just took it to another level once it turned tournament time.
Yeah, but I mean, he's been like a 12-point guy. 13-point guy.
He kind of went nuclear in this ACC tournament and NCAA tournament, and that's what's propelled them to where they're at.
He's playing way beyond what he's ever played.
DJ Burns. It ain't so much DJ Burns. Morsells played really well. The guards that have played really well, they've hit some shots when they needed them, especially in the Duke game. The Oakland game, they hit some shots. Oakland was like 50 seconds away from beating them if it hadn't been for a couple of shots go in and things changed the trajectory of that game. So give credit to NC State for hanging in there and battling and fighting through and finally getting to the Final Four for the first time.
All of this. Talked about NC State for quite a bit here. I got to get to Purdue. I mean, for me, I mean, you know, Zach Edey has been playing like a man possessed, if you ask me. I think he's on some kind of a streak where he's got like 25-15 or something like that, like five in a row or six in a row or something like that in the NCAA tournament. Might even be 30-15. 25-15, 30-15. There's some kind of a streak that he is on. And I mean, he's been playing like a man possessed. And his team around him is a lot better. And I'll be the first to say when this season started, I wasn't big on Purdue because I wasn't sure that they improved around Edey. Not that I didn't think Edey was going to be good and that Purdue was going to be good. I just didn't think once tournament time rolled around, if they didn't improve their guard play and around him, that they wasn't going to be able to make much of a run. But
I've seen it.
I will fully say that I will keep my words because in mid-October, late October, that's what I was saying. But so here at the end of the season, I fully kind of believe in Purdue here. They've got a couple of guys, Braden and the other one's, what's his name? Starts with an L.
Fletcher Loyal.
Yeah. You know, they've got a couple of guys that I think, you know, that are really good.
Braden Smith. Yeah. They got some good guards.
They do. Braden Smith has played really well this year. And they've got some guys. So I think this is the year.
Mason Gillis is really good.
Is the year that Edey's going to make it all the way at least to the final game here. And we are going to get a UConn versus Purdue final game.
Well, and I'll tell you another one that has, I'll tell you another one that's really helped them along the way is the Lance Jones, the transfer from Southern Illinois. He's been a big thing for them this year, especially down the stretch in the tournament. So they got some guys, and you know, Matt Painter's done a really good job with this group.
Oh yes, and Matt Painter's been fantastic with Purdue. He just in the last year or two, you know, they hadn't got as far as they wanted to. 2 years ago, they got knocked out in the Sweet 16. Last year, they got knocked out in the first round. And you know, like I said, I will eat my words. Sometimes I'm wrong. I didn't know that they'd picked up a couple of transfers and stuff. And that they would be much improved, and they have this year. So, you know, I mean, hey, I was wrong once or twice. Well, it happens. It happens.
I'll say this about the final game. You know, in my bracket for the CBS or the bracket that we done as a group, I got UConn. You know, Hurley's doing something that I've never seen in quite a while. Like he's really rejuvenated that program, brought life to that program. You know, especially after Kevin Ollie, after the whole situation with that, and he just comes in, he just builds it right up. He's taken off.
They just need an airplane.
Yeah, they just need an airplane, basically. But I will say this.
Sorry, guys. I had to.
I know what you meant by that. But I will say this about this game. If Purdue gets to that point and UConn gets to that point, which I think will happen, Zach Edey versus Donovan Clingan might be one of the best matchups we'll have all season long. And, you know, this guard play.
I think this is going to be one hell of a game, if you ask me. If we get Purdue and UConn. I think
it's going to be a hell of a game. Basketball game. I think it's going to be one heck of a basketball game.
I expect this to be a game that, you know, if there is one team here that can hang within 10 points of UConn, I think it's this Purdue team. I think it's possibly this Purdue team. And I think we're going to see a war here. And personally, I'd like to see Purdue win this, okay? Mm-hmm. If I was picking on just what I would like to see, I'm taking Purdue. I would like to see Purdue win this.
But your
I've
heart,
actually got some family. I've got your friends heart, that your are heart Purdue. Says UConn.
But your heart says UConn.
My head says UConn.
Well, your head says UConn, but your heart wants Purdue. Yeah, yeah, I get it.
Yeah. My head says –
I think that's where I'm going to go. I got UConn winning. But this will be the first time probably all year except in Big East play when UConn's going to be tested for the first time up since the tournament started. And I think they'll be tested pretty much for 40 minutes. And can Edey, you know, neutralize Donovan Clingan? That's the key thing. I think.
Now, Josh Hart, why would NC State versus Alabama be epic?
The underdogs, I guess.
Come on.
But no, listen from Josh's perspective, though. Could you imagine an NC State-Alabama national championship, though? Like, you really don't have a dog in the fight, and you really don't care who wins, and you just, like, whoever wins is going to be a champion for the first time, well, since a while. I don't think Alabama's ever won one, have they?
No, this is Alabama's first ever
Final Four. That's right. So this would be NC State's first championship since 83 in Jim Valvano. Yes. Could you imagine an NC State national championship?
And I'll be honest with you. I know Purdue has made some Final Fours, a couple in 69 and 80, but have they ever won it? I don't know that they have.
I don't think they have, no.
I don't think Purdue has won it either. I don't believe.
Mm-mm. It would be a fun matchup because you would have two underdogs going at it. You really don't have a dog in the fight, and whoever wins wins, and we would have a new winner, and we wouldn't be really thinking of back-to-back championships. But with that said, I think UConn wins this whole thing. I just think they're too talented. They got the better players. They got the inside game with Klingon, and they got the coach. Dan Hurley is one heck of a basketball coach. And don't make him mad, or he'll go off on you. That's just Dan Hurley.
That's for sure. Absolutely, I agree 100%.
That's just how he comes off. He's just that way. And I'll say this about the whole playing thing. Everybody's laughing and cutting up about. So Houston or UConn did not get on a plane.
I had to make a joke about it.
UConn did not get on a plane until, what was it, 3 o'clock this morning? They had been sitting for almost, what, was it about 5 or 6 hours? They had been – my idea was this.
Yeah, it was a while.
My idea was this, and I know I'm going to play devil's advocate on this, but my idea was this, was Dan Hurley did that for motivation so he could whip the teams in the Final Four. Where people would like put the whole world against us, against UConn deal, and he would play it off as like motivation. I know that's probably not the case. They probably didn't have plane. They probably did have plane trouble. But could you imagine though using that as a motivational tool, saying us against the world mentality with the plane? Like, to me, that would be the coolest thing to ever think about if they actually won and he told that. I think that would be pretty neat if a motivational tool for a plane. Like, come on now. Like, but.
I just was having a little fun with it because there was some jokes going around that Hurley needs a plane.
You know, it kind of reminded me of the time that John Calipari in Memphis, everybody was looking at the door. If everybody remembers the door, everybody was watching him go through that door. Everybody was waiting for the day that door would open and somebody would come out of it. Like, the door is a big thing in Kentucky basketball history. And I thought that was kind of neat with the whole plane thing. Everybody's waiting for a plane. So.
Yeah. All right. So that is going to wrap up our show. And we are probably not going to do a show on Sunday. Although, I don't know. I haven't made up my mind. If I do a show on Sunday, it'll probably be an early show on Sunday before the women's final game, because we could do a short one on Sunday and talk about the final game matchups for Sunday and Monday. And then on Tuesday.
We have a big summer coming up, though, for everybody involved. Like, you know, we got college baseball. You know, Major League Baseball is just starting. We'll probably do some more knits and pieces with John Roberts with Auburn Baseball.
We're going to cover some more baseball.
And for those wondering, I just wanted to kind of shout out Kentucky Baseball. They're ranked number 17th in the country this year. We finally got us a baseball team this year, so – Maybe we'll do some things and maybe go to the regionals.
Big series. They play number 13 Alabama this weekend.
Alabama this weekend. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just kind of want to shout out. I want to try and shout out Emma King too. The interview the other night. It was a really great interview. She loves Kentucky basketball. She's been raised in it from birth. You know, her dad taught her. If you listen to the interview, he brought her up on that. You know, Emma King is a really great human being, but she was also a great basketball player. And that's what I took away from that interview. She has a lot of love for the blue and white. And shout out Emma King.
Oh, absolutely. Emma's fantastic. I loved having her on. She's got a great spirit. She's very approachable. She's funny, charismatic. You know what I mean? Like, there's so much great about her on top of athletic, passionate, you know,
We're going to work on,
all the stuff in sports.
And we're going to do some Lady Cat segments. On the road, have some more interviews. So be on the lookout.
Yeah, we're planning on doing some. It's going to be the off season soon. There is some stuff going on with Kentucky women's basketball here with the roster, some things that's going on currently. Yeah. But, it'll be the off season soon, but I am going to try to get at least one or two more before we close out this season. Coming up on College Sportscast after the Final Four here, we will, of course, talk about some topics that to finish off college basketball, but we're going to move our focus to the NFL draft for the rest of April. The NFL draft covers the college kids. The last Thursday, Friday, Saturday of April. Mm-hmm. And we are going to move our focus, a lot of our focus, not maybe all of it. We'll still have some topics on college stuff and things like that shows. But we're going to move our focus towards the NFL draft and SEC college baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And then in May and June, we will cover SEC baseball. We'll cover the SEC baseball tournament. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully we will cover the College World Series and the playoffs, the tournament.
Guess what's coming? College football is coming.
Yeah. That'll be in June. And then to be quite honest with you, we will take a little break in July. The only time I plan on really doing anything in July is we will cover the SEC media days for football. Yep, outside of that, we will probably take a break in July. We did that last year. And after April here, we will probably slow down to at least two episodes a week. We probably will not do three. So
no, it's
just kind of give you a heads up.
Usually during baseball season, it gets kind of, not saying it just kind of slow, but college basketball is over. The only thing you really got in college basketball is, the transfer portal and a lot of coaching moves and a lot of different roster turnovers.
The end of June is the end of the College World Series and the NBA draft. It's all kind of in
you got the college football portal, I think, opening back up soon just for a short period of time. So there'll be some moves made there with the portal. So there'll be some news there. So, a lot of great things happening here. We're building things great here. So,
and we're getting closer and closer and closer to ending season two here. And then we're going to have, some new things with our Lady Cats episodes and stuff like that. Our segments, next year, and some player interviews, maybe possibly some coach interviews. I'm not saying head coach here, guys, all the time. I'm just saying, it could be some assistants or, I'm working on some stuff. But we are
Josh. Aaron Bradshaw did not hit the portal. That was a rumor going around. I don't know where that came from. But, he has not hit the portal as I know.
It actually came from an On3 guy.
Yeah.
It actually came from an On3 guy. It wasn't just a rumor.
Oh, well, okay. Well, there was one that somebody had made a comment about, so I didn't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I do know.
But from what
I talked to a few people today, and I seen a comment yesterday that Kentucky is really in with Cliff. Omori from Rutgers. So there's a lot of interest there. So we'll probably find out some news here in a couple of weeks. We just found out tonight Justin Edwards was going to the NBA. So a lot of things are going to take shape here in the next couple. And a lot of things take shape usually during the Final Four. There's a lot of movement going around, a lot of coaches moving around, a lot of players, a lot of people talk at the Final Four. Like a lot of people kind of get connected and find out information at the Final Four, and that's when you usually see a lot of news break. Because we've seen it last year.
All right, guys, we're going to end it.
Remember last year, Brad, when Hunter Dickinson and Max Abbas, all them, it was near the Final Four. Everybody started jumping in the portal. So maybe we'll see some bigger news here coming up. Great show again.
All right, guys. We will see you guys possibly early on Sunday and do a short show maybe on Sunday just to preview the two finals games, okay?
Sounds good.
Y'all have a good night.